Welcome into the Area Sports Podcast. I am Chandler Carney. With me, as always, Brady Scott.
What up?
We're going to break down the NFL today and give you some news coming out in college football. We got a coaching carousel going on. It's starting to heat up. And we're going to kick things off talking about Hugh Jackson versus the Cleveland Browns. Now, Hugh Jackson was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Goes down to Cincinnati, and he's running the defense now. He was trying to, and he just got torched.
I don't know what he's doing.
It was very disrespectful, and I loved it.
Oh, I loved when he picked the ball off and just handed Hugh Jackson around the field.
Yeah, and then he tries to dab Baker Mayfield up.
Tried to get Baker a hug after game. He's like, no, dog, I'm good.
No, we're just friends.
I wouldn't say they're friends.
But, you know, like, you go in for the hug with a girl, and she's like, no, we're just friends.
I know you know me. That's really all it is now.
Just keep it that way.
I mean, Baker said, you're going to be in our locker room and want us to play for you. Then you get let go and just go to another team in our division in the same year. 2 weeks later.
Well, I mean, he has to get paid some money.
And they still get have to play twice.
Yeah, I mean, I see why Baker could be mad about it and the rest of the Cleveland Browns. But at the same time, it's not like he just left on his own and went there.
No, he got fired, but my thing is, I think you just take the rest of this year off. And if you're going to go coach somewhere, don't go coach somewhere that where you play the team that you were just head coach for two more times to the remainder of the season. Because the NFL rosters turn over so much in the offseason anyway. If he'd have went coach for the Bengals, got hired this offseason, I don't think it would have made that big. It wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Because there's so much turnover and some guys ain't going to be there. And then they're going to put in more stuff. But they probably still run the majority of sort of the same schemes and stuff that they put in camp. And yeah. He knows all that stuff.
And he still couldn't stop it.
Nah.
That was the big thing. Like, if you say you know what they're doing, but you can't stop them, then maybe you were the problem.
They've looked better in the 2 or 3 weeks now that he hasn't been there.
Yeah, in the 3 weeks he hasn't been there, they've gone 2-1.
Baker's playing way better.
He's thrown more touchdown passes and has less turnovers than he did with.
Yeah. I mean, that could be a combination of him growing up, too, though, and starting to figure things out. Because usually rookie QBs figured out the second half of the season, and they struggle in the first.
Yeah, I mean, but he's had to go through a different head coach and different offensive coordinator in the same year.
Yeah, and he's better for it now.
Which Hugh Jackson is rumored to be could possibly be the next Bengals head coach.
The Bengals front office should be fired. They need to fire themselves if they hire him.
They don't want to win.
They should already be fired for not firing Marvin Lewis.
I just don't understand how he still has a job.
They should let go of Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton on the IR, out for the year now. Torn ligament in his thumb. I mean, they need a new quarterback. They only have one receiver on the roster.
He's been hurt.
That garners attention each year. AJ Green, and he's one of the best receivers in the league, but he doesn't have much help.
I think it's time to move on from Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton. That era just hasn't worked out. It's run its course. And Andy Dalton could definitely go be a decent backup quarterback for somebody. I just don't think that he, in this day and age.
They started 4-1 this year.
Well, I mean, that's every year. They're like the Kansas City Chiefs.
They started 4-1, though.
It's just every year that they do that, really, they jump up 2-1, 3-1, something like that.
Yeah.
And then it's just a decline. And if they win good in the regular season, they're not going to win a playoff game.
Yeah.
They've proven that.
It's true.
I mean, if you can't beat the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, their 3 wins. Their 4 wins starts the year were at the Colts, who we all know who the Colts were earlier in the season.
Yeah,
the Ravens at home. They got beat by the Panthers. They beat the Falcons in Atlanta. And then they beat the Dolphins.
So not really any big wins.
Right.
I mean, beating the Colts, yeah, but that was Andrew Luck's first game, and they really were assessing how to use him early on in the year. And they finally given him the reins to the offense and letting him do whatever.
Is that one of the scariest teams in the NFL right now? Or a team that you wouldn't want to play? Colts right now?
No, I think the team that I wouldn't want to play right now is in the same division with them. It'd be the Texans. Because, I mean, the Colts, just they're not very good defensively.
They're just young defensively. And I think they can hold teams with Andrew Luck scoring now. The offense is scoring, and that's helping them out. So, I mean, I don't know.
They're definitely going to be in a fight for the division. And I if mean, not, it's going to be a wild card.
I think the Colts are going to get a wild card spot.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're playing good football right now. And I'm eager to see what they do in the offseason. Because I think they need another receiver opposite T.Y. Hilton. They need a bigger guy opposite of him. Because you look at their receiving core, they're all built the same. They don't have the big guy. They got the speed guys who can push vertically. But they don't have a guy to throw the ball up to. And the running back situation isn't great, but it's good enough to get them wins.
Well, I mean, if all they really need, which I haven't watched them a whole lot this year. As you know, we only get 2 football games a week, mm-hmm. and they're always local or trash games. But then there's potential there in the first, second round. It's a deep wide receiving core draft this year, I feel like.
And I think the Colts have one of the more favorable schedules in the league headed out. I mean, they go to Jacksonville. We all know what that is.
It's a shit show.
They go to Houston, which will be a tough game. They have the Cowboys at home, which should be a good game as well. And then they have the Giants and the Texans to close it out. I mean, that's...
If you can steal one of those Texans games...
If you beat the... No, they have the Titans at the end. They've already lost once to the Texans.
Okay, so if you can beat the Texans this next time, that'll help you.
Say they both win this next week. That pulls them to within one game. Mm-hmm. And you never know.
I think the Titans are a mediocre team that has looked good at times and looked awful at others. Mariota can't push the ball downfield.
He can't stay healthy either.
And maybe that's why he can't push the ball downfield.
No.
But there's going to definitely have to be some evaluation on whether he stays long-term or not.
Yeah.
And it's something that if he stays long-term, you can't – I mean, he's not worth a long-term contract.
No. I'd give him 3 years max.
And I would not pay him more than $15 million a year.
Yeah. But, I mean, you look around the league, though, and I'd rather have him than some guys.
I mean, absolutely. He's not the worst starting quarterback by any means.
And I just don't think this upcoming draft is a strong draft for quarterbacks because they'll be picking probably 10 to 15 range. And I just don't think it's a strong quarterback class.
It's definitely not as deep as it was last year.
And I think he's going to be better than anybody you'd get out of this draft.
Yeah, especially where they're picking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless they just rolled the dice on somebody in the third or fourth round and they panned out.
Yeah, I mean, you see that every now and then.
And I mean, that's really the only thing. But quarterbacks that are, like the last year's draft, there was a big debate of should Josh Allen be the number one pick and all this and that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until really the day before the draft where the Browns kind of came out and said, Baker Mayfield's our guy, we're really picking him. And you said from the start he should be the number one quarterback taken.
Baker?
Yes.
Yes.
I said that if they do not pick Saquon Barkley first,
yeah.
then they should go with either Mayfield or Darnold.
Yeah.
I don't buy into the Josh Allen hype, and I actually said that I would take Lamar Jackson before I took Josh Allen. And Lamar Jackson finally has his chance in his last 2 weeks he's kind of showing out.
The only reason I wouldn't have taken Lamar Jackson over Josh Allen is just because you look at the guys who like to run the football in the NFL nowadays where that's their primary go-to stuff. RG3 did it his rookie season and did it great, but the longevity of it just doesn't work for those type guys. And looking long-term, I think Allen's probably going to be better unless Lamar just starts throwing the ball better.
Yeah, I don't think he should run the ball as much as they're running him, which is not all him. He's not running out of the pocket. It's design runs.
But that's his game.
Yeah.
When he gets out there, he's not a quarterback running the football. He's a running back. He's an athlete with the football in his hands. He's an athlete playing quarterback is what I like to call him, sort of. Because he's not a quarterback. He's just an athlete playing quarterback.
He has a better upside than Josh Allen. Like, Josh Allen might can throw the football 70 yards, but he couldn't hit you in stride with it. He couldn't put it in a trash can.
I think once they get some weapons around him in Buffalo, I think he'll be all right.
It's something that to watch out for.
Because he's just one of those guys where it may only work in the pros. You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely been those people.
Because he's the... We know everybody in the NFL likes to run the same scheme. And he's your prototypical, if we can put a body of a quarterback that we want with an arm on it, that's what we want. And he just fits the mold for multiple schemes, no matter who they bring in there.
Yeah.
I think he can adapt to any type of offense, whereas where Lamar runs the ball around so much, you sort of have to adapt your game plan around him.
I mean, would you take Lamar over Joe Flacco? I mean...
I think that the Ravens will win just as many games with Lamar Jackson as they will with Joe Flacco. Does he make them Super Bowl contenders? No. Nah.
Hey man, I think he makes some better playoff contenders.
But I mean, I just think they'll win about the same amount of games either way, give or take a few on either end. So I don't think Joe Flacco's that good. He had a couple good years, got himself a contract, and I think they're about ready to let go of him when his contract runs out.
He has the most pass attempts for a quarterback to never be named to a Pro Bowl.
Yeah. He's just consistently okay.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe Joe Flacco. He's consistently mediocre.
Like, he's literally, we're just talking about Marcus Mariota. I mean, he literally might be that as far as stat-wise.
He's not going to win you many games with just his arm, but he's also not going to cost you many games.
I mean, he has accuracy issues of his own.
Yeah.
People say that's Lamar Jackson's biggest thing. He can't put it on a rope or anything like that.
For Lamar Jackson to be a better passer, I think he needed either one more year in college to really fine-tune it. Because you saw it the year he came out. He worked on his passing, staying in the pocket more, and he threw the ball better. Had better numbers that year than he did his Heisman year. But it's just a matter of working on it and spending time on it. It doesn't happen overnight.
No.
Because him coming through high school, he probably never had to throw the ball to win a game. And then at Louisville, he really never had it to throw it to win a game. Except maybe once a year. He had to make a few throws at Clemson. And those were usually the games that were close that he lost. So, I mean...
Do you think about that Louisville team with Lamar Jackson and then without him this year. I just don't see how one person made that big of a difference. Like, I get you might lose 4-5 ball games, but to be that awful offensively, it was crazy. Before we get into college football, Duke and Indiana are playing tonight, Big Ten ACC Challenge. Who you got in that game?
Watch out for Indiana.
I mean, they're good.
Watch out. What's his name? They got another hometown kid. Yeah, Indiana-grown point guard.
Romeo Langford?
Yes.
Yes.
I've seen his highlights. He's a real deal.
You know who his second choice school was?
Duke.
And, I mean, it would have been crazy. And I think that's the reason he didn't go, honestly.
I like it staying at home, though.
Yeah.
Because I think he makes them competitive. But where's this game at?
Duke's the home team, but I don't know if it's neutral side or not. I feel like it's just a regular season game.
Indiana at Duke.
Yeah, okay.
I think this game in Cameron.
I mean, Duke's favored by 15.5.
I don't think that's a good line at all. Because I think Duke's still young and figuring it out. This is going to be probably the most electric atmosphere they've played in yet. I mean, it's been loud, but it hasn't been loud with somebody else on the other side. That's a decent team. I just think Indiana's going to give them a run. I think Duke probably pulls away late.
Yeah, I like Duke in this game. The Gonzaga game was a really good game to watch.
But it's going to be close.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be 15.5. If it's double digits, it's like 10 or 11 late.
If it's double digits, Duke's lights out from three tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're hitting threes consistently, it can get ugly. But if they're not, it could be close.
Yeah, I mean, they could put up as many points as Texas A&M and LSU did in their 7 overtime thriller. I mean, did you ever think that game was going to end?
No.
I really didn't.
I think the longest drive in overtime was like 7 plays.
It was just...
They were scoring it. They're in about a 3 overtime span. It seems like every play scored. Nobody wanted to stop anybody, and nobody wanted to go home.
Do you think that it should have went to overtime?
See, I don't know, because when I was flipping back and forth between that game, what else, and the USC Notre Dame game, when mine threw the pick, I didn't notice his knee went down. I was just sort of casually watching it. He picked it. I said, well, that one's over, and flipped back. Well, a few minutes later, I was going to go see who was playing on ESPN, and I hit last on an accident or something, and it took back, and they were still playing. And I said, what's going on here? Because they were at the coin toss for overtime. I got on Twitter. I said, somebody needs to explain to me what happened in this LSU game. They picked the ball off. It should have been over. So I missed all the calls that everybody's upset about. But it doesn't surprise me with SEC officiating. If you're not in Alabama, you're going to get screwed at some point throughout the year.
Yeah, the thing that – I didn't see the whole knee going down for that. I was also watching USC Notre Dame. But and I think it was the first overtime. LSU scores, obviously. Mon throws the pass to the tight end. And it was called incomplete. But in my honest opinion was he caught the ball, he took 2 steps, and he turned to go upfield, and he fumbled. He got hit and fumbled the ball.
I agree that it was incomplete, though.
Which, I mean, I don't know what the catch is with SEC officials.
I mean, by rule, it's incomplete. When they slowed it down, by rule, it's incomplete.
But how? I mean, he took 2 steps and made a football move.
I just think it got knocked out on a second step. When you slow it, in real time, it was a fumble. But when you slow it down, I think it was on his second step. The ball got knocked out. You knew they weren't. You knew they were going to make it incomplete pass from the get go, just because of how they've ruled everything. But everybody's going to complain. They're going to miss calls. It's judgment. Nobody's perfect.
But these SEC officials, they've been trash all year, in my opinion.
No.
I think the league needs to do something. The commissioner needs to do something about this.
But instead, the commissioner is worried about the Ole Miss-Mississippi State rivalry.
Creating a healthier environment.
He has caused the unhealthy environment.
If he hasn't caused it, then the NCAA has caused it. Because you don't grant immunity to one side to snitch on the other.
No.
And not cause heated things to go on. Was Leo Lewis paid?
Yes.
There ain't no doubt in my mind.
He admitted he was.
Was Jeffrey Simmons paid?
Yes.
There's no doubt in my mind.
He was supposed to come here.
Which, with Jeffrey Simmons, it could be the whole beating the woman thing. A lot of schools might have got turned off about, but no, State didn't.
No, he was supposed to come here. He didn't even get suspended for that, I don't think.
I think they suspended him one game. It was the first game he was supposed to play in, which obviously was against nobody school.
It didn't matter. Well, nothing done. Nobody said anything about it.
Yeah.
Now, if that would have been Benito Jones or somebody from Ole Miss, it would have been national news and ESPN.
Yeah. What really pisses me off the most are the way Mississippi State fans act on Twitter, even after a win.
Yeah.
And
I saw something the other day on Twitter. They have a who should be Ole Miss's defensive coordinator? Like, somebody wrote an article, a Mississippi State fan or affiliate, is trying to see who should be our they're worried about us. They're all too worried about us. Like, why are you worried about what we do?
And say that we cry all the time about things. It's just,
I mean, I was like, people talk about the way we hit quarterbacks.
Yeah,
we're out to get every quarterback we play. If you didn't know, we're out to hurt them all. That's the game plan. We're paying everybody to do it. That's the way State fans see it. Last year, that dude got paid a ton of money to break Nick Fitzgerald's leg. Obviously kidding. Nobody tries to go out there and hurt anybody. Because the majority of these guys on both sides know each other.
Yeah.
And they're friends.
And they grew up in the recruiting process.
And they're friends all the year. They played in all these all-star games and been in all these camps. They're not out there intentionally trying to hurt anybody.
Which, so, I really think that there's nothing to be done other than, like, it's been ugly the last 2 years.
I mean, they caused it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to give them, give their players the opportunity to go and say what they want to say. Like, they had meetings with Mullen before they'd go into the NCAA. They rehearsed what they were going to say just so they didn't mess up. And it's just, it's not right all the way around. The whole situation was messed up. Did we do stuff wrong? Yes, I'm not saying we did nothing wrong. But I'm just saying we're not the only ones. And when you get the information that other schools are paying people, before you grant them immunity, you know that they have been paid. We have given you the record and stuff that we have offered. If somebody offers you $10,000, $11,000 out of high school to come play for them, are you going to go somewhere else that doesn't pay you?
That's a hard thing to ask. Because this is a school Mississippi State? Because if it is, then no, I won't go.
You're unbiased. It doesn't matter.
And yeah, probably.
Somebody's offering you $10,000 to come here. You're going to go somewhere where nobody's offering you when you come from and ain't got a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to.
So we offer you $10,000. You're telling us out of the kindness of your heart, you said, no, no thank you. I don't want money. I'd rather stay poor. I'm going to go play for free somewhere else. It doesn't happen like that. Everybody shells out money. We just got caught. Because we got 5 stars. Ole Miss got 5-star players, and everybody's like, huh, this ain't supposed to happen. Then we beat Bama 2 years in a row. Huh, this really ain't supposed to happen. This team's pretty good. I think they're cheating. Which, we were. But I mean.
But I mean, were we? Nothing ever really came out about it, except for Laramie Tunsil sleeping on a couch.
Laramie Tunsil slept on a couch, and that.
And kept in a rental car for an extended period of time because the auto shop did not fix his car.
And Jeffrey Simmons on SEC Network driving a brand new Camaro.
Talking about growing up in the projects.
Huh.
That's what's sketchy to me.
Huh. I don't know. I mean, the whole thing was messed up. You're here 6 years and can't find anything.
That should tell you
something. At that point, they realized we've been here this long. We can't find anything. We've messed up. We have to find something, so we're just going to take all these little things and make them something big.
I mean, I now know why Miami fans hate the NCAA.
Yeah, I hate them.
So,
if that building burned down, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't shed a tear.
I mean, the NCAA doesn't do anything, especially with Michigan State and the sexual assault cases.
Baylor and their sexual assault. Like Louisville and their sexual assault. They fired their coach and everything was okay.
Do you think that that's worse than somebody getting paid money when they're not supposed to? Like, no.
This dude raped kids. This dude slept on a booster's couch. As a common bystander, which is worse?
Definitely the rape.
To the NCAA, you can't sleep on somebody's couch.
Yeah.
So, they got raped. We're not going to fool with that. That's going to be for somebody else to handle. And we're just going to drop that and focus on this dude who got taken hunting in the Delta.
Which, you know, I don't know why Larry McLaughlin would want to sleep on Chris Kiffin's couch. He's kind of an asshole. But, you know, to each their own.
I don't know.
Matt Brown is back at UNC. It has been finalized that he will be the next head coach.
What do you think?
Terrible. I say it's terrible. They may win more ball games, obviously.
I mean, he's a good coach. But, I mean, I just don't think he's...
He's not going to be there for the long haul, for sure.
No. I mean, you get 5 years out of him, max, maybe?
I think they'd be happy. They just want some stability back in the program.
I mean, I just don't know, man. I just feel like there's a lot of different ways you could have went with that, and I would have never guessed that they would have went that way with it.
Like, out of all the hires that could have been made of... Not even just old coaches as far as people who don't pan out at other places. You could have gotten a bigger name hire.
Yeah.
You could have gotten somebody younger.
Go talk to Venables. Go talk to Aranda.
Go talk to Loxley.
Just go talk to somebody.
But you're gonna go to Matt Brown.
This is really the only name that ever came out about this job, and they've done it in less than a week. Like, they didn't even look.
It's Tuesday, and Fedora got announced that he was fired, what, Saturday night?
I think this has been in the works. This had to be.
Well, it's a good move for us, because now we don't have to listen to Matt Brown talk on ESPN Network. You know?
It could be worse.
I mean, how so?
Joey Galloway?
Well, he's still going to be there. He's not going to be a head coach anywhere. But at least you don't have to listen to Joey Galloway and Matt Brown on the same day.
It don't matter to me. I just tune them all out.
Kingsbury's out at Texas Tech. What's your thoughts on that? And who do you think they're going to try to go get?
My thoughts are I'd like for him to be our offensive coordinator. Probably wouldn't work out well here, knowing Kingsbury likes the ladies a lot. So, I can see where that would go. So, I'd be like, you're pretty good offensively, but I just don't want your baggage, especially not this soon. But I think he'll find an OC job somewhere or a head coaching job at a lower level school. I don't think he's got a Power 5 head coaching job waiting for him anywhere.
In my opinion, he made too many dumb mistakes on the handling his quarterback situation every year.
He didn't start his best quarterback.
And he hardly ever starts his best quarterback.
I don't know. He's out, though. I've been waiting on it for a while.
A name that popped up was obviously the first name that popped up on a lot of people was Mike Leach. Yeah. And Leach shut it down quickly.
He's not going back there.
I don't think he would. I wouldn't go back there ever. The way that ended, and then, you know, he's quoted saying, they didn't pay me the first time. What makes this any different?
Yeah.
But, so Brent Venables and the AD, Kirby Hokut, were college football teammates, linebackers together. And they've been in talks, but I don't know if it's about the job or not. He said they're still really good friends.
I mean, it'd be a great hire.
It finally brings some defensive stability to a Big 12 program.
We'd see if those offenses were for real in a few years. Not right off the bat. You'd have to give him 2 or 3 years to get his players in there and get his system fully implemented.
Yeah.
But we'd see maybe a good defense in the Big 12. I doubt it. You're still going to stop who you need to stop and have to score where you need to score. The biggest hire, if he goes there, yes, that's a big splash. But who would his OC be? That would be the most important hire for him, I think, would be getting an offense coordinator who can go get you probably 35 to 40 points a game.
Yeah.
Because early on, you're going to need that.
And there's not many that can do that.
No.
I can tell you one place he shouldn't look. And I said the University of California.
No. They scored 30-something points this past week, didn't they?
Did they? Who'd they play?
Oregon
State.
Stanford? No.
They play Stanford this week. That game got rescheduled, and they'll play it this week.
I'm not sure, but they hung 30 on somebody, I'm pretty sure.
I think Justin Wilcox is a good coach. I think he definitely needs a better offensive coordinator and somebody that can recruit better for him.
Yeah.
And he could be a top-tier Pac-12
coach. They
played
Colorado this week.
Yeah. Okay, so with McIntyre being fired and
that. They won 33-21.
Did McIntyre finish out the season?
I think so. I'm not sure. It didn't really matter either way.
Do you think that he would get a coordinator job anywhere?
I think he has a good scheme.
He's built the program up. It just kind of fell off a little bit.
Colorado was trash before he got there. And he's taking on the bowls. So, I mean, you can't hate on the job he did there. But he won enough games to where a couple of bad seasons hurts you and gets you fired.
I'll say you won enough games there to where they're probably like, okay, you stabilized our program, and we thank you for that, but now we're going to try to get a big-name coach. Mm-hmm. And you can't fault them for that. The Pac-12, in my opinion, second-best conference in football as far as coaching goes. Mm-hmm. There's bigger names coaches out there. Mm-hmm. Now, they're not going to put up as many points as the Big 12, but they also play better defense.
Yeah.
And the Big Ten, really, you only see two or three, four name, big names, really. The ACC is awful right now. So I think the Pac-12 is kind of like, they're getting bigger name coaches.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the Big Ten's got some good coaches.
Yeah, Urban Meyer, you got Harbaugh, you got Jeff Braum, if you want to count him.
I think he's a good coach.
You think he's going to go to Louisville?
I don't know. That's not a job anybody wants right now.
I don't think they're a really good football program.
How long does Oklahoma State give Gundy to turn it back around?
I mean, I think they'll give him 2 years. He's been there a long time.
Yeah. I'd like to see him go somewhere.
You'd like to see Gundy go somewhere other than Oklahoma State?
If he gets fired, I think he's a great offense coordinator name, if not a head coach somewhere.
I think if he got fired from Oklahoma State, it would be just like Charlie Strong getting fired from Texas, and the next day he's right down there at USF.
Yeah.
Or Kevin Sumlin got fired at A&M, and then he's over at Arizona.
Yeah.
He's too big of a name for someone not to go get him, especially a small, lower-level program.
Does Lane Kiffin get any looks?
I think the Browns will look at him. I don't know if any college football teams are interested in him. I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't be, but...
Went 5-7 this year. After going 10-3 last year.
Yeah. He lost a lot of players.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's a tough place to win. And I'm looking at their schedule right now. They got blown out. Really.
Is his brother still the defensive coordinator there?
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably why.
I mean, they only got blown out twice. Or three times. You look at their blowouts, they got blown out by Oklahoma 63-14. UCF
beat them, that don't count.
UCF beat them 56-36. And Marshall beat them 31-7.
I mean, Marshall's a good football program.
Every other game that they lost was a one-score game. I mean, they lost by a field goal 1-2. They lost by a field goal twice and by one once. So, I mean, it's not like they were out of games.
Chris Kiffin was not the defensive coordinator this year. He went to the San Francisco 49ers as a pass rush specialist.
Right.
I thought he had went to the NFL, but I wasn't. With it being him, I wasn't so sure that somebody would take a chance on him.
Yeah.
What an asshole. Do you think Hugh Freeze... Well, first of all, let's do this. Gus Malzahn, we thought he was off the hot seat. He was coming back for sure. And the reports come out yesterday that may not be the case.
Yeah.
And in the reports, it was talking about how Auburn officials have pulled together the money that they could buy him out for $32 million, but that they would not pull the trigger unless they had a big-name coach in locked in to come. And... that the coach that they were in talks with, that people representing Auburn, had met with the coach. And he said that he wouldn't come unless it was Jimbo Fisher-type money.
Yeah.
And then the report, for what it's worth, the Auburn officials met with Bob Stoops 2 weeks ago.
Bob Stoops, big name.
And I think that it would definitely take Jimbo Fisher money to get him out of retirement.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to be retired, but can you turn down $75, $80 million?
No, just ask John Gruden.
Exactly. I mean, ask Jay Cutler. Miami called his bluff last year.
No, nobody's turning that down.
No. Nah.
But I have a message for all the Auburn fans out there. Chill. Chill.
Are they the most spoiled fan base?
Chill. You beat Georgia and you beat the two teams that played in the national championship last year. You beat them. And now you want your coach gone.
I just don't understand it. I get he's up and down, but... I mean,
they had a great defense, but they were young all over on offense. They lost a running back. The quarterback didn't play great because they didn't have many receivers. And the offensive line was young. Give it time. You just played for the SEC championship last year. You play for the SEC championship anywhere else.
That's an extension.
Anywhere else in the conference. You have at least 3 years guaranteed, more than likely.
Yeah.
before they even think about firing you. And you play for the SEC championship last year, and this year you're going to be gone.
Which is why Clay Helton ultimately is getting to stay at USC.
But Auburn has been like this for as long as I can remember. They're either really good or really bad.
Yeah.
They don't have many 8-win seasons. I mean, they're either right on the bubble of making a bowl or they're in the SEC championship game. You know?
Yeah. So, and I feel like that to start the season was a huge win. I mean, they beat in my opinion, one of the better programs in college football.
And the thing is, how many other guys out there are better than Gus Malzahn are just as good as him? There's not many out there. Because I just don't know who they think they're going to get.
I mean, it ain't like they went 5-7 or 4-8. I mean, they won 7 bowl games this year. They're going to a bowl game.
I mean,
potentially win 8 games.
I mean, sometimes you just ain't got it. The SEC was good this year. It's good every year. But they had a tough schedule.
Yeah. They did have a tough schedule. But in my opinion, the worst loss was to Tennessee at home. Yes. And I think that really just what kind of did it in for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think that sort of pissed Auburn fans off.
Well, I mean, Tennessee fans were happy. They got their first win in Alabama in like 20 years.
Yeah, but I mean, just chill. I mean, if he does this 2 more years or another year.
Okay.
But $38 million is a lot of money to have to pay somebody.
No.
And I just don't know if they can do that. I mean, I know they can get it. But that's a lot of money to get somebody out. You better have
$16 million has to be paid up front outright.
And then what happens when somebody comes in next year? Say they get Bob Stoops. Bob Stoops doesn't run the same style as Gus Malzahn. So he's going to have to get his players and his personnel in. So next year they're probably only going to win 6-7 ball games a year. Are they going to be pissed off at him?
Like, you're not Alabama, so why not like it?
No.
I mean, I get you.
You're not going to be that good every year. They don't have the talent to be that good every year. Nobody else in the country does except maybe Clemson. But Clemson gets bailed out by a bad ACC.
I mean, Georgia has the potential to do this.
Georgia's on their way.
Yeah.
And I think they're another year or two from just being, okay, it doesn't really matter who's on the field, we're going to win.
And then the only other team that's like this is really Ohio State.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in the Pac-12, there's not any.
Ohio State is the only non-SEC school, in my opinion, besides Clemson, that matches up athlete for athlete against the top teams like Bama and Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
They can go toe-to-toe with you at every position and not be outmanned.
That's why they win a lot of ball games, in my opinion, is that they just out-athlete people.
Yeah.
Especially down the stretch with Maryland and – and then let's just, I mean, they put an ass whipping on Michigan.
We'll get to that.
And I think that once you start, they got a national championship with Cam Newton in 2010. I get it. Then they should have won one with Malzahn against Florida State. I get it.
Yeah.
And then it's been sort of downhill from there. But you beat Georgia and you beat Bama in the same year last year. You should not, there should be no question about you coming back. I get it. You lost to UCF in the Peach Bowl.
And the thing is, Malzahn didn't get embarrassed in any of these games.
Mm-mm.
The worst thing was Tennessee. They lost to State in Starkville. They didn't score that night. Their defense played well. The score was bigger than the game was. The game was pretty close throughout. They scored.
I mean, that's the number one defense in the country.
I mean, that's up there. I mean, and then you lose by one to LSU. I mean, and then you're in the game against Bama in the first half. So, I mean, you only lost to Georgia by 17 in Athens. What more? I mean, he didn't get blown out. It's not like they just played awful. They didn't play like Ole Miss where we just looked terrible in games.
Yeah.
They were competitive in every game they played.
He's a good coach.
Yes. I'd love to have him here.
Now, if he stays, do you think that he'll try to get Hugh Freeze as his offensive coordinator?
I don't think their styles match up. I think they run sort of a similar offense, but it's totally different in the same breath. Because Hugh Freeze likes to throw the ball up and down the field and use the run game off of that. Whereas Malzahn likes to establish the run game.
And then throw the ball downfield after that.
And then play action everything. I think there would have to be compromise on both sides. I don't think Jared Stidham, I think he could, Freeze could work with Stidham. I don't think he's his quarterback. I think the guy they got on the bench or the guy they got coming in could be that guy. It's just about will the SEC office allow it because they're big buddies.
Yeah. And Tennessee, now, rumor mill was Tennessee's going to try to go get Hugh Freeze. And then Tennessee officials say, no, we're not. But then people high up at Tennessee are saying, we're trying to work to get him here. But they're going to have to jump leaps and bounds to get this thing going.
I think Tennessee's a better fit for him than Auburn.
He would have full control of the offense. Because
at Tennessee, you have Jeremy Pruitt, who's a big defensive guy, and he would look at Hugh Freeze and say, you've been where I am. You know how it is. You take the offense and run it. And he'd let him do that, and I think that would be a great offense, which would allow – I think that was part of Tennessee's problem this year.
Yeah.
Jeremy Pruitt was worried about – had to worry about everything. If he gets a guy in there where he can focus more on defense, they're going to be scary.
Yeah.
Especially if they score points. And it would just hurt my heart to have to play him every year if he was at Auburn.
Yeah, because, I mean, I wouldn't be mad if I lost him.
I mean, I'd be pissed that we lost.
But it's – Hugh Freeze.
I mean
– I think that
– I don't want to have to play him every year. I think it's sort of bullcrap if we do.
I think that the NC, the SEC –
I don't think the SEC wants him here.
Well, the thing is like, I understand last year, you don't want him coaching, and Alabama was a potential target. You don't want him coaching Alabama to have a chance to go play for a national championship while his team that he put in a bind is on bowl ban.
And like you said off air, if Loxley leaves, I guarantee you Saban's going to talk to him.
Yeah.
And if anybody, and if they say that anybody, he can go anywhere in the SEC, it wouldn't make any sense for him not to go there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then how unstoppable would Alabama be?
I mean, you wouldn't beat them. Right. He'd be there a year, maybe two, and then he'd be head coach again somewhere.
I think that it's inevitable that he's going to come back and coach.
Hopefully here.
But the thing is people forget that Chip Kelly was all, like, the NFL wanted Chip Kelly for years, and they wanted his style of offense for years. Right. He did not leave Oregon to go to the NFL until the Oregon team was about to get investigated and put on sanctions. And so he dips out, just like Pete Carroll did at USC. And now I know that there is years, four at least, in between this.
Yeah.
And then he wants to get back into college coaching, and the SEC tells Florida, yeah, you can interview him.
Yeah, I mean.
And I just think this is fresh on everybody's mind still. It's recent, and that 5-6 years down the road, he's going to be coaching in college football as a head coach somewhere again. Possibly the SEC.
As much as Mississippi State fans hated him, how much would they love him if it came out right now that they were going to interview him for offense coordinator?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they hadn't had offense in years. Even when Dak Prescott there, they hadn't thrown the ball in recent memory very well at all.
Well, I think that's what Moorhead wants to do as well.
Yeah. And I think it's where college football's headed. If you don't have a good defense, which they have a good defense, but I think they're about to lose a lot.
Oh, yeah, I think at least three of those guys are gone that are underclassmen.
They're about to lose a lot. Yeah. Simmons, Sweat, Lewis is probably gone.
Peters is the owner, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's a senior.
He's been there 18 years.
Yeah. So,
what about a picture of him? Ole Miss is so classless. You see the picture of him?
Yeah, flipping everybody off.
Flipping the sideline off.
I was told all.
Stay classy, not trashy.
I was told that I need to let it go and not say anything, so I'm going to let it go, Hunter. Big buddy, have the Egg Bowl this year because he's coming back home next year. It is. Matt Luke here or not, I think they're going to find a way to win that bowl game next year.
We're going to be very talented.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about they're losing Matt Calf, probably going to lose Brown, and Lies. They're losing their top three receivers.
But there's three that can step in and fill those shoes.
You got Elijah Moore, who got a ton of experience this year that's going to stay in the slot and be productive. Dawson Knox may come back. I hope he does.
I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't.
Cooley may come back.
I don't know why he wouldn't either.
He should. You should have both those guys back. You got freshman Gregory, who's battling injury all year, never got to play, got the red shirt. You got Miles Battle, who's the big guy, sort of the taller receiver that's going to be out on the edge. Sanders. And who else?
I mean, you have that kid from Tupelo coming in, but...
You got like three or four coming in. Three or four four-stars coming in. So, I mean, the receivers are going to be fine. You got Scotty back.
The thing to me to worry about is going to be on the offensive line.
Yeah, because you're losing a lot. Patterson.
I mean, you're losing everything.
Little. Givens is going to test his stock. But, I mean...
Rollins is gone.
That's why they talk. That's why they brought in a bunch of offensive linemen this past class.
Yeah.
So, you've got a bunch that's been here. And you got Ben Brown, who's going to be probably your only starter back. And he's not terrible.
Who do you think Ole Miss will go get for a defensive coordinator with Wes McGriff being fired?
I don't have a clue.
Sources close to us were telling us that it was going to be Army's defensive coordinator. And then we heard Brian, from App State, was coming in. And I think that they need to get a bigger name.
I don't think you can get a bigger name, because if there's another defensive coordinator at a Power 5 school, they're not going to go to Ole Miss just to be in the same position they're in.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're going to have to get somebody from one of the lower ranks and pray that they pan out. And I think from just what you've seen, the Army guy would be pretty good. I think he could get everybody to play. But it's just about...
Do you see how Wes McGriff gets fired the day after the Egg Bowl and Phil Longo doesn't?
I don't know. I think they're trying to keep as many recruits as they can.
How do you think after the...
After the early signing period, you're going to see a lot of moves.
Yeah.
And if you don't, next year we will clean house.
Longo still could potentially leave because Texas State is very interested in him.
I hope they get him.
I hope they do, too.
I'd pay them to take him. I'd pay a salary if they take him.
So, with that being said, if Longo does get the head coaching job wherever, and we get two fresh guys in here, and it doesn't pan out, you think Luke's going with them after that?
Yeah. I just don't know. I think if Gort's gone, that could be the best thing for us, if he leaves.
Yeah.
Because the new AD's going to want to – he may let it ride out another year, depending on when he gets hired. But then I think he'll make a move and get his guy in here. That's usually how you see things go. If they're hired early, they'll go ahead and look for their guy, and if they don't think he's out there, they'll roll with it a year, and then they'll go get their guy the next year. Unless you just walk into a situation like if Alabama got a new AD or Clemson. You walk into that situation, you don't touch it.
Well, I mean, Dabo's threatened to leave.
I think he's just blowing smoke.
He's on a teleconference call, if I'm not mistaken, and his fans were upset that South Carolina scored 35 points on them, and he started saying that we're 12-0, and if 12-0 is not good enough for you, then I just need to find somewhere else to be.
I think he's just all talk of that. He'd be stupid to leave where he's at. Because where in the country can he go and have it better than where he's at? Nobody in his conference is anywhere near good enough to beat him.
Well, I mean, it's probably something taken too far out of context, obviously.
He was just saying that.
But it's truthful that if 12-0 is, how much better do you want to be?
You can't be any better.
You play 12 regular season ball games.
They just want to beat everybody like Alabama beats everybody. That's where their fans hold their standard to now.
All right, so with all the coaching carousel talks being said, let's get into some rankings. And I know you've got a little bit to talk about it, so open mic, man. Go for it.
All right, first off, I'm going to start out and give
– You want to do our top six first?
I'm just going to go ahead and give who I have. Bama's one.
Yeah, obviously.
Clemson lost a little traction for me this week, struggling in the first half and early in the second half to a – middle to bottom tier SEC school for the second time this season. I mean, the two SEC schools they've had have given them a run.
Yeah. You know?
And that just sort of like makes me sort of, because Bama didn't struggle too much with A&M. And Georgia didn't really struggle against South Carolina, and Georgia had to go to South Carolina. So, I mean, that's why they're two. And behind them, I have, for this week, I have Georgia jumping to number three from the number five or number six spot. Georgia, since I think them losing to LSU, they gave them a loss, but it was the best thing that happened to them this season. I mean, they've just been playing unreal, and I think they're right there from being the second-best team in the country. I think they may be the second-best team in the country top to bottom. But for the playoff thing, I just don't know if they can beat Bama. And if they lose to Bama, they're more than likely out. Just because of two losses. And you got two people sitting there with one. I had Notre Dame barely sitting there at four just because they're undefeated.
Yeah.
I don't think Notre Dame.
Do you think that they're a lock to be in? Because, I mean, they're 12-0. They don't play conference championship.
I don't know if they should be. I honestly do not know if I think they should be.
Because they don't play in a conference championship.
They beat Vanderbilt, who is probably the 10th best team in the SEC by five.
No.
That is not a good win. Their best win, what would you say their best win is?
It'd either have to be Michigan or Syracuse. And neither one of those teams are top-tier teams.
Michigan is. I think Michigan's good. But Michigan was not good that night.
They also were not good last week.
The number four Michigan team that we saw all year, other than last weekend, or this past weekend, was not good again. That's not the team we saw the first week.
Yeah.
The defense wasn't great. And the offense just didn't do anything. So their best win is against a Michigan team who is still trying to figure things out. Georgia has a better win than them.
Well, Georgia's beat more top 20, more ranked teams and ranked defenses than
Oklahoma has a better win than Notre Dame. And Ohio State has a better win than Notre Dame.
Yeah, because, I mean, Ohio State
also. I mean, if you want to say Michigan's both their best win, Ohio State handled Michigan from start to finish.
Yeah.
There was about a 12-second span where Michigan had a little spurt, and then it was all Ohio State throughout. I have Oklahoma at five. I think with a win, they're probably in, unless Georgia wins.
That's the biggest debate.
And I think with a win, they're in. And then I have Ohio State at six. And my personal opinion, I would much rather see Bama want. Here's would be a. If I was just on the committee, I'd like to see Bama at one, Clemson at two, Oklahoma at three, and Ohio State at four. I think that would be, if Ohio State plays like they did against Michigan the rest of the season, if they do it in a Big Ten championship, I think those four teams would give you the most excitement in a playoff setting. You could even throw Georgia in there for one of those teams.
I think if you threw Georgia in there.
Because I think Notre Dame is going to get blown out because they should have been beaten this past weekend by a bad USC team. USC turned the ball over twice when they were going to score, and they lost by seven.
Well, the thing is if you throw Georgia in there into that mix, you're going to have to put them at four. And then it would just be a repeat of the SEC championship game. So I think if they lost that game.
I think if they lose, they're done.
Yeah, they'll go get a New Year's Six bowl bid. Yeah,
there's no doubt.
But they, I completely agree with that. If they don't win, then they should not, because it'd just be a rematch.
Who's better, Ohio State or Oklahoma?
I would say hands down, in my opinion, Oklahoma would beat the brains out of Ohio State.
I think Oklahoma's a better, they're better offensively. Ohio State may have a better defense, but I don't think it matters who lines up on the other side.
Yeah, I got too excited. I would not say beat the brains. I think Oklahoma would beat them.
It'd be a good game.
Because Haskins obviously is going to put up numbers.
Yeah. I mean,
Kyler Murray is going to put up numbers. But offensively, Ohio State's defense, they can't hang with Oklahoma's offense.
You talk about Oklahoma's defense, though, which the committee is going to talk about tonight on the show or last night whenever you're listening. They're going to talk about Oklahoma's defense. Ohio State just gave up 51 against Maryland.
Yeah.
Talk about that. Don't just talk about how Oklahoma struggled. Ohio State just gave up 51 against Maryland. Which, that's not good.
Oklahoma has a chance to erase their one loss. Yeah. This is the best thing that could have happened to them.
Oklahoma has a better loss than Ohio State.
Yeah, to Texas. Absolutely.
And they
won on a last second field goal.
Yes. I mean, I just think Oklahoma gets... We're going to see how much the committee values that win over Michigan. I think if Ohio State wins a close game, they're six, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
But I think because of the way they won it, and we've seen what the committee usually likes to do, I think there's a question if they could jump Oklahoma. I don't think they should. Because you can't tell me that we're going to rank you 10th all this whole time and talk about how bad you've been playing, but you still won. One win can't erase how bad they played down the stretch. You can't – this one win does – you can't just forget about how they've looked. Yes, they've won, but they have not looked good doing it. In Oklahoma, you can say they hadn't looked good, but you expect them to do that. That's how they usually look and are supposed to look. You're not expecting them to go out there and hold teams at 21 points. You expect Ohio State to go out and shut down teams defensively and hold them to 28, 21 points. And that's just why I think Oklahoma should have the edge, because they play their brand of football better than Ohio State has played theirs.
No, like, you know they're not going to play defensively.
No.
You knew that last year when they got in.
And they almost beat Georgia.
Yeah.
Which was one of the best, everybody says, one of the best defenses in the country.
I think that the big, I think even if Georgia beats Bama, then they would both be in.
Yeah.
I think that they would be 2-3. Because they're not going to want an all-SEC title game again. And then it would put Clemson and either Notre Dame or Oklahoma in there.
MVP from Ohio State, Michigan game this past weekend. Who you got?
MVP?
Yeah.
I didn't watch it enough to say it. Maybe Haskins?
Freshman wide receiver.
The dude who caught 2 touchdown passes Chris and blocked a punt. Yeah, Chris okay, Olave. Yeah.
He came out of nowhere. They couldn't. I mean, I saw Urban Meyer in his post game presser. He said he was picked to go in there and do that. They picked him to go in and block that punt because he was the fastest guy on the field.
Well, you have to think, man. This rivalry. I'm a firm believer that Ohio State Michigan
believes they can't beat Ohio State now.
It's one of the biggest rivalry, not just in football but in sports, because it's a big deal in college basketball. And in the game, you usually see a star being born. And that's their coming out party is in the game.
He looked good. I mean, I think he caught 5 balls coming in that game.
Yeah.
And I think his first 2 receptions were both touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, he just had the biggest impact on the game. He set the tone early to complete the game. I mean, it was just laid out early that they were going to dominate. And they did.
I think that being prepared for that game was the best thing for them. Also, with them playing well, you didn't see any antics from Urban Meyer, but oh dear God, you heard the commentators talk about it. He doesn't need to get stressed out. He's gonna get these headaches.
That's fine. If it was that bad, he wouldn't be out
there. Yeah, and I think that the committee is gonna have to have a decision on whether Notre Dame is good enough to go. I think that question comes up only if Georgia wins.
I don't think Notre Dame's good enough to be in. I think we're going to see a repeat of when they played Bama in the national championship with whoever they get matched up with.
Yeah.
I think Ian Book's a good quarterback. They have a good run game. But they just fall asleep at times.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been tested by a team that they would see. I think every other school that has a chance to get in has played a team that would test them for this moment. Georgia has, Bama has, Oklahoma has, Ohio State maybe. They played better teams throughout, but they should have lost to USC.
Notre Dame, yeah, this past week.
They should not. Notre Dame didn't win that game.
USC lost that game. Yeah. And they're young. Yeah. That USC team is. And I think that's one of the reasons Clay Helton got to keep his job.
No.
And Clay Helton.
You just see flashes of it.
And he got, Lynn Swan says, he won the Rose Bowl 2 years ago. Okay. And he's got a young team. He's dealt with things. We're going to bring him back for another year. We support him. Now, is he going to enter 2019 on the hot seat? Yeah. Absolutely. And if he doesn't get it turned around next year,
he's out.
He's out.
Yeah.
But to have that support, that was good for him. But in my top six, I got Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame at 3. I put Georgia 4, Oklahoma 5, Ohio State 6. Yeah. Simply because I feel like this Oklahoma-Ohio State is going to be a big question mark.
Yeah.
And they, and when the committee comes out and says, okay, well, Oklahoma's going or Ohio State's going, I want to say this is why, this is what we valued, this is what we didn't care about.
I mean, I just think it's who they both have to win.
And if they both lose, Georgia could potentially get in this playoff because the committee's already said we don't value a loss to Bama because LSU stayed in the top 7 yeah. after that forever.
I don't see Ohio State losing to Northwestern. I see Oklahoma with maybe a chance to lose to Texas.
Only because they've been beaten.
Because it's Texas.
And they're a better team than Northwestern.
Yeah. I mean, Oklahoma's playing the best game outside of the SEC this weekend, which is why I think if they handle business.
Well, I think the Pac-12 game would be a good game.
They should be in. But it doesn't have any weight to it.
No, it doesn't have it. It's just who's going to go to
the Rose Bowl,
but no. I don't know if the Rose Bowl is in the playoff this year, is it?
No.
Okay, so who's going to the Rose Bowl?
I know it's the Orange Bowl and I think the Cotton Bowl.
Okay.
It's the two New Year's games.
Well, I mean, the big thing for Oklahoma is if it's the Cotton Bowl and they get in and they get on that side of the bracket,
I mean,
that's a home game for them. You know?
They're there this week.
That'll be the third game this year. That's a home game for them. That would be good.
It's only their second. Who did they play earlier in the Cotton Bowl?
Texas.
I'm talking about Jerry World.
The Cotton Bowl is played in Jerry World now, isn't it? That's my bad.
I was like, this is going to be.
Well, usually when you hear Cotton Bowl, you just figure it's at the Cotton Bowl.
I was just thinking back to see if they had played in Jerry World before. No.
The only thing playing Cotton Bowl now is the Red River.
That's the only thing they have there now, football-wise.
All right, well, Heisman-wise, let's talk about that for a minute. Obviously, Tua Kyler. Do you think that after the performance against Washington, Gardner Minshew should get an invite to New York still? I mean, do you think that has anything?
I think he could get an invite. I mean, you look at the conditions. Nobody's throwing in that. Neither Tua nor Kyler are throwing in that. I think out of the three, Kyler has a better game because he's a better runner. And that's the only reason. But nobody's throwing much in that weather.
You think a kid from Mississippi going and playing that weather, slinging the ball around? Yeah. But the thing, I think that he should get invited.
Yeah.
Because if you only invited people that realistically had a chance to win, it would be a two-man race. And a lot of years, it would just be a one-man race.
I think it's a legit two-man race right now.
I mean, I don't think that Gardner Minshew is going to win the Heisman.
No.
But I think that he should get invited. Yeah. And if people say that Dwayne Haskins should get invited, I think that I'm not opposed to that. He should get invited. He's not going to win.
No. I think it's a Tua Kyler right now. And I saw something earlier this week that something from Oklahoma put out. And they were like, because the big debate between Tua and Kyler right now is Tua doesn't play fourth quarters.
Yeah.
So they put together stats. And they say, you want us to take out the fourth quarter? Okay, we did.
Kyler Murray still has better stats.
Total offense, he's got 600 more yards.
Yeah.
Exactly 600 more yards of total offense than Tua. And keep in mind, this is only quarters 1 through 3. Pass yards, he's got them by 200. Rush yards, he's got them by 400. He's got 31 pass touchdowns. Tua's got 35. And he's got 39 overall, and Tua's got 40. So, I mean, he's just one off of total touchdowns.
Yeah.
And completion percentage is right there within a .4 of each other. It's right there. Yards per attempt, same thing, .6 apart. And yards per completion is right there within a yard. So everybody thinks just because Tua's not playing in the fourth quarter, he's got better numbers 1 through 3.
Yeah, I don't think he's a lot.
When all actuality, it's pretty much even right now. Mm-hmm. And I think Kyler does more for his team. I think if you take him off Oklahoma,
they're not as good as they are.
And they have to play their backup. They're not where they're at right now. They had 2-3 losses because they probably don't score with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Tua's not starting. Is there a doubt in your mind that Alabama's not undefeated?
No.
With Jalen Hurts?
No.
Alabama is still undefeated.
Even Jalen Hurts still has that surgery on the foot or whatever, and Matt Jones has to step in.
Yeah.
I still, if they're not undefeated, they're one close loss.
Yeah.
One.
And that's the difference, I think.
Yeah.
Tua plays on a more complete team, and he looks better because their defense doesn't give anything up.
It's the same thing early on when McKenzie Milton was in this race.
Yeah.
Is you take him off UCF. They're not as good. And I think that him being hurt potentially hurts their chances. Because if Georgia lost, Oklahoma loses, and Ohio State all lost, I think UCF would have gotten serious consideration
but not now.
Because, I mean, he was their team. And he was the guy you wanted to see go against those defenses.
He was their team.
So I think that's a very good point, and that if you take the best player from who means the most to his team, it's Kyler Murray all day.
He's the best college football player.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the best college football player who has a shot in the pro. He's the best college football player.
Which you see a lot of times.
Because he can do everything.
Where Robert Griffin III won the Heisman over Andrew Luck, and they went to the Valero Alamo Bowl that year. I think they won like 7 ball games maybe. But he was the best player on that team, which Stanford was really good.
Yeah.
So, it's just different. I don't know.
Here's some hypotheticals right now.
Uh-huh.
Here's an easy one. Defense, Bama, Oklahoma, which one do you want?
Definitely Alabama's.
Receiving core, which one do you want?
Top to bottom, Oklahoma's.
Including tight ends.
Oklahoma's.
Really?
I don't think Oklahoma's receivers get enough credit for
it. They don't. But they have two big name guys on the end. And I think talent wise, Bama's better across the board.
You think including tight ends that they would be?
Oh, Irv Smith's the best tight end in college football.
Okay. So, yeah.
Because
Oklahoma doesn't really have that good of a tight end.
I have, what's his name, Calcaterra, however you say it, and he's open a lot. But I just think I think wide receiver core, they're even.
Yeah.
Running backs.
Bama's. And I say that only because
Rodney Anderson's hurt. With Rodney Anderson in, who do you take?
Alabama's, because Damian Harris is a complete back, more so than any other Oklahoma backs. And I think that he's a 1-2 punch by himself.
I think the defense is the only difference between these two teams right now.
I mean, I agree with that.
Because if Oklahoma's holding teams to 10, 20 points, they get the same love Bama does, and they're ranked number 2 in the country right now if they have a defense. If they have a defense, there's not a doubt in my mind they're ranked number 2 because they would have beaten Texas.
Yeah. That's a good hypothetical. And you're on the Murray for Heisman.
I just think
I'm not far behind you.
I think he does the most for his team.
Yeah. Well, you got any final thoughts about it today?
That was sort of it.
That was it?
Unless you got a question for me.
My final thoughts would be the match, Phil and Tiger, we watched this past weekend.
Yeah.
Didn't think it would ever end.
Went down the wire.
It was worth $20, I'd say.
They played 22 holes of golf. And everybody thought Tiger would go in there and beat Phil. And that's what was great about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, we never once wavered that Phil was going to win this thing.
All these Tiger fans can now hush.
Well, the thing is they kept conceding putts. And I was just, you even said it. You was like, oh, my goodness.
I wouldn't have conceded some of them.
No, there are some of them. Now, when Tiger conceded that last one in regulation, and he said, let's go play golf, that's when I would have been like, you don't want to win it like that.
No, he didn't want to. I think the putt was made.
Yeah.
But
he was just...
He just wanted to go play.
And you can't not respect that.
No. I mean, I think a lot of Tiger Woods fans, in my mind, they're a lot like Mississippi State fans, are just annoying to me.
Yeah. They're like Aaron Rodgers fans.
Yeah. They're just annoying.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my egg bowl thought is, To any person out there who thought that Mississippi State would not win, shame on you.
You're drunk.
I picked Ole Miss. There was not a doubt in my mind that I knew Mississippi State would win that game. And that's what I've told all my friends that are Mississippi State fans texting me. L State, all this. I'm like, did you honestly think we had a shot? Yeah.
Even said, being in Oxford.
No, I told them all. If you talked to me before the game, I said, we don't got a shot. We did not have a prayer in that game.
Yeah, didn't you shake Matt Lou's hands before the game?
Unfortunately. He'd be loud. It was on the tip of my tongue, give us something to cheer for, but I held it in. I should have said it.
All right, so thank y'all for joining us today. Friday, we're going to be back in studio. We're going to talk. We're going to break down every conference championship as far as Power 5 at least. Give you our thoughts on it. Do our picks for the conference weekend. And
probably have some opinions on tonight's rankings.
Yeah, tonight's rankings as well. So y'all have a good week, and we hope y'all listen to us Friday.